And we're live! Episode 5, What Embargo? I'm one of your hosts, Big Tuna.
And I'm Mr. Catfish. How y'all doing tonight?
I love the brim.
The brim on the hat? I know. And it says Hag on it for Merle Haggard, so I get like the, you know, redneck love of Merle Haggard with the hat, and then I get the little short brim Cuba love as well, so it was a win-win situation. I had to buy it.
It is. It's a total Bayou hat. It's a total catfish hat.
Absolutely. It is definitely fitting for me. So welcome everybody to another episode of What Embargo, the most biased show on Cigar Federation. We definitely have more bias than anybody else, and we are not owned by Ezra Zion or House of Emilio. Just wanted to get that out right now to make sure everybody knows.
We're not owned by anyone except...
We're not owned by anybody!
Who are owned by us, who are owned by you and me.
And we're extremely biased.
Yes.
Extremely biased. So what are we doing?
We're going to talk about the new Ezra... I'm just kidding. We're talking about San Cristobal de la Habana, Príncipe, which, for some reason, I thought last week we were doing the show, so my review was last week, but your review was this week, but
yeah,
we still talked about it, and I can thank you for the smoke. I was very pleasantly surprised.
Were you? And it was the box is November 12. I know you didn't. I didn't tell you what it was.
It was 2012.
Yeah, these are both purchased. Your friendly. They were actually purchased from your friendly local neighborhood at LCDH. I want to say in like February of 2013.
Oh yeah,
so they were fresh. I mean, they were right off the truck when I got them.
Now, how do they age? I thought they might have some age on. Do they age well?
I couldn't tell you because I can't keep my hands off them, honestly. But I can tell you, when I first got them, they were great for the first like month or two, and then they did go through a little fermentation period, and I just didn't touch them for about, I don't know, 2 or 3 months, and then when I went back, I just started chain smoking them. They were so good.
I mean, the price on them is incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
So aging these things for me would probably be impossible. It's almost like they have Coronas, so you just smoke them because they're just tasty and they're really affordable. They're everyday smokes, and the construction was terrific. Great
flavor. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
The original San Cristobal.
The original San Cristobal. Do we know? I know you're the one who does all the history work. I don't do that. When did the San Cristobal brand come around in Cuba?
1999.
So was that before Ashton did San Cristobal that Pepin was rolling at one point in time? Or
that
not?
That would be before. Many years before.
Okay. So I wasn't sure. Because I know...
It's interesting that he named it San Cristobal, too, because I don't think Cuba cares, or Habanos cares, but it's very interesting that his brand is San Cristobal, and this brand is, you know, technically San Cristobal de la Habana, but everyone knows it as San Cristobal.
Yeah. And they're totally polar opposites, obviously, but...
Well, one of them's good, and the other one's...
Sucks. But... So. Anyways, before we get going on, because some people were saying that they liked that we were talking about what we were smoking while we were going.
Yeah,
last show said like give us so they get kind of like a running review. So I just want to let everybody know I am smoking a Punch.
You said that twice.
I did say that twice because it is twice. It's double. It's that badass. It requires its name twice.
Punch.
What other fucking cigar needs its name twice? It's not like a Monte Cristo. You know what I mean? It's a punch. That's how badass this shit is.
It's the cigar so nice they named it twice.
Pretty much. So, anyways, Punch Squared. This one came from a box from 2007. And just a little education for you guys and gals out there. Sometimes Habanos look terrible. And this is a perfect example of a box of Punch that looks disgusting. Like they're all, like the wrappers are almost green, and I don't mean like the little green spots, you know what I mean, that sometimes we'll see on the wrapper. I mean like the wrapper is ugly. It's not that big, rich, oily, brown looking thing, yet they smoke phenomenal. Very much dried tea, slight real light honey notes, and very floral for the beginning. So I'll check in as we go if I get anything else out of it. But these are phenomenal. And I was telling Tuna before we got on here that my dumbass gave like most of them away. They're so good. I gave them to my buddies so they could experience it. And then I realized that I didn't have many left. So what are you firing happens. Up tonight?
I'm smoking a Partagas D4. Look at that ash. Look at that construction on a Habanos from 2009. Nice. And it came in a tubo. I got these when I was overseas. So I picked up some. I already had like a box and a half aging, but I was like, hey, I'll pick up some tubos. I really like the tubos. So just never fucking smoked them. But I took them out of the tubos, and it's smoking wonderfully. It's delivering those classic Partagas flavors.
Interesting.
You know, there's some stone fruit qualities. It's just great. I mean, I love it. I love D4s.
I hate them. I hate them. I can't stand them.
Well, that's
amazing. It sucks because I revisited them. I've revisited them at least 3 or 4 times. I want to say bought several vintages, and every single one of them just I don't get it. I don't know. I don't see why everybody freaks out over them, but you know, to each his own. It is what it is.
I don't freak out over them, but I enjoy them. I mean, at the end of the day, it's, you know, when it comes to those global brands, you know, H. Upman's the brand that I go to.
Me too.
But it's, I mean, it's an enjoyable. I like some of the Partagas smokes, but yeah, man. But we'll come back to it. Gosh, it's just smoking so beautiful. It's just great. But let's talk about San Pedro. Yeah, well, whatever. Mine's a little bit wider.
El Principe. Let's talk about El Principe, should we?
Gosh. Short, little, magnificent smoke.
Yeah.
It's
so you had never had any San Cristobal before, had you?
I thought I had. And then it looked familiar, and you know, if I did, I probably had like 1 years ago, and that doesn't count. But I smoked through those, you know, I once I got them in the mail, put them in the humidor, and then smoked one. I was like, damn, this is really good. Smoked second one, I was like, this is pretty good. Smoked third one, damn, this is pretty good. Saw the price, was like, holy crap, bought a box.
Good for you.
And it's just, the press was fantastic. Construction was great. Wonderful flavors.
Yeah.
Good little size.
Yeah, no, I love that size. The kind of a shorter, it was like 4.5 by 42.
Yeah. Petite Corona.
Smaller than a Petite Corona. Shorter, I should say. But in all honesty, the whole brand, I've had everything from the brand. And aged examples, everything I've had from the brand. The only thing I haven't had fresh is a La Punta. I've had a La Punta with a couple years. I've had a La Punta with 10 years. I've had the Oficios. I've had the...
How's the La Fuerza? How are the La Fuerzas?
You know what? I don't think I had the La Fuerza, but I had... their LCDH release, I can't remember what it's called, but they came out, I want to say, in 06, 07, 08.
They had a lot of LCDH releases.
Yeah, and I've had several of them, and I just, none of them really, like, you know, blew me away. I mean, they were good, but they didn't blow me away. And
that's why they discontinued them.
That's the one that, more than anything, has continually, every time I have one, I'm like, God, this is good. It's good in the morning. It's good at night. It's great with coffee. It's perfect with coffee. I don't know why, it mixes so well with coffee. It's insane.
You know, what it made me think of, and it's almost like if Monte Cristo had a baby with an Oya. That's what it made me think of, because it showed some of those Monte flavors a little bit, you know, a little bit of that creamy coffee and cocoa, but it also had that lighter Oya aspects that you could get with, like, the Epicure Especial. That's what it made me think of. Those two met and had a baby.
I explained it, and I thought this. I was proud of this one, but I explained the draw was rich, Silver Spoon's rich with a hint of Alyssa Milano, and I meant that.
Alyssa Milano.
Yeah, I mean, dude, Alyssa Milano in the '80s. Come on.
No,
it was ridiculous. Growing up, it was just unbelievable, that's how I described.
Growing up, it was unbelievable.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, definitely in the. Bank, if you will, but
always remember, dude, it's Elizabeth Shue for me, man. I remember Elizabeth Shue when I was a little kid.
That's funny, but You know, the point I was trying to get to people was it is extremely rich, and the nutty flavors that I explain on this. I was talking actually to Tyler, one of our newer guys who's reviewing on SigFed, about how on certain cigars. Yes, welcome Tyler, congratulations. We hope you hang out for a while, brother. Sometimes when you get a cigar with multiple rich flavors, they kind of combine to create this better flavor, you know, and on this one, when I put the spice grew into liqueur, and I just wanted to explain to people from a tasting note perspective what I mean when I'm saying something tastes like a liqueur. Typically that means, you know, I get like this really strong almond note that's there for not just, you know, one third, but it just keeps going and going and developing and developing. And
then amaretto.
And you'll get these spices that kind of build around it as well. And when you combine the burn of the retrohale, the spice left on your palate, and those nutty flavors, it starts to remind you of when you take a little sip of amaretto or a liqueur like that. And that's really, to me, that's what happens when you have a really good blend. Because there's a million cigars out there that are rich, that have cocoa or coffee or espresso or all these different flavors, right? I mean, we experience them all the time. Sometimes I feel like I'm just saying the same shit over and over and over again. But it's really when they all kind of come together and produce extremely unique notes globally, as three or four will come together and then smash into this like beautiful note. And typically I think that's when you get a really rich, it happens when you have a really rich long finish. And this one had just an unbelievable
complexity and depth, finish. I would say. Complexity and depth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. And this cigar had it. I mean, it's one of those, you know, if you find yourself, you know, all I can tell you is, listen, the price is incredible. Find your way, walk yourself down to the local LCBH, buy a box of these.
Oh, yeah, buy two. I bought two, and I knew. And I had had one. If somebody had sent me one, you know, like I sent you a few of them, and I had them and was like, hey, I'm going to buy two. And I mean, they haven't lasted, you know, I'm halfway through the second one right now, a year later. Yeah. So,
it's a really good line that I'm definitely going to be going to further. And you know, it's like, you know, looking at the brand, you know, it's one of those niche brands. It's there with Trinidad, and Quava, and you know, smoking the three side by side, San Cristobal is the best.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
I used to say Trinidad with the Reyes,
That one's unbelievable. And I can't imagine what I even said at some point in time that I would pay. I think I put in my review that I would pay double for a box if I could find one aged, and I would, because I think if once these age, you know, they will be freaking amazing. So
the price is incredible on them, and I honestly think they could. And you know, thankfully, you know, Habanos isn't watching, but they could increase the price. And these things
easy. You could increase the price to $150, and I think they'd sell.
Oh gosh, yeah. You know, man, easily. But so, yeah, great morning cigar, good afternoon cigar.
Yeah, it's something that I honestly, it's something that I give a ton of, and Matt will attest to this. It's something that I give to a lot of Nika smokers, and whoops.
Really.
Yeah, hold on. Just for some reason, if I end up freezing like I did before, it's because my Norton is freaking out right now, right? I don't know why. It just did it again, but I closed it in time. Anyways, it's something that I give a lot of Nika smokers because I think it has enough power. You know, the pepper note that's in it, I kind of liken to a green Anaheim pepper. And if you cook with a lot of different bell peppers, which I like to go to farmers markets and grab tons of different peppers, and I love Anaheims because they're real sweet, they're juicy, but they just have this little hint of spice to them. It's not enough to burn you. It's just kind of a greenish spice, and very light and delicate, and I think that really shines in this kind of cigar enough so that when a Nika smoker smokes it, they're like, oh, it has pepper, you know, but it's so much smoother than what they're normally used to, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah,
with the finish, and so it's one of those cigars that has enough body and finish and power up front that when I hand up to Nika smokers, they're like, oh, this is amazing! Like I've never had a Cuban this good before. This is really good. And I really like it. So it's one that I would recommend to a lot of newer smokers, A, because of the price point, and B, because of the fact they're good fresh, and C, I think they'll be able to understand it a little bit more, you know, up front, more than, say, you know, like a Quai d'Orsay, you know.
We don't talk about that. I mean, unless Guy's watching, I don't want to talk about that damn brand.
I love them. And the Coronas are friggin' amazing. The Corona Claros are friggin' amazing. You need to try them once. They're awesome.
It's I know what you're saying by clean finish. It's like a clean and neat finish, and it's just, it's something that, you know, I find most Habanos produce. But there's a lot of cigars, especially Nicaraguans, that are just rough, and it just kills you, I feel like.
Yeah, this right now is freaking unbelievable. It's so clean that I can retrohale almost the entire exhale. It is so freaking smooth. So,
yeah,
you know, that's what happens, people who are watching out there, when you age something for, you know, 6 or 7 years, the finish is just so ridiculous. You can shoot it out your nose and get all these complexity and flavors, but without burning your palate out or your nostrils out. So,
yeah, it's a good smoke.
What are we moving talking on. About next? What are we moving on to next? What's our next part of our agenda?
Tobacco beetles. Tobacco beetles. The evil beetles. Or Beetlejuice. I've never had a problem with beetles.
Well, I've had two breakouts this year, and it was very, very eye-opening for me. So that's why I figured it would be a good thing for me to talk about. Just to give a little background before I get into my spiel for everybody. The two experiences I had, had them when it was not the hottest times of the year. And I live in a very dry area where in the summer times my humies are 85. And I never really worried about my Nika stuff, but I have all my Cuban stuff in a wineador, and I never freeze them because I put them right in the wineador. I don't have to worry about them. And I figure if by the time they get to me, if they're going to have beetles, they're going to have beetles. And to be honest, I've gotten several orders from your friendly neighborhood local LCDH that did have beetles in them and sent them back. So basically what, for me, I had it happen, I want to say, in like November, October, jeez, something like that. Yeah.
Wow.
And I caught them, it just tripped me out. It was a Domus Magnus from Casada, Placentia. And pulled it, you know, searched every cigar in this humidor. It's a 400-count humidor, so it's packed full. It's ridiculous how much, you know, I had to go through. Froze everything, threw it all back together. And then 2-3 months later, there was one box in there. It's an aging box, and I didn't think of freezing this aging box because I've had all these cigars forever. Sure enough, boom, a Partagas 150 and an original El Triunfador got hit. And luckily, I mean, this box, the quality of cigars in this box is ridiculous, so I was amazed that was all that got it. And I just happened to, you know, open it up and grab a good cigar one night and found some more. Or no, I remember what it was. I opened up my humidor, and that's at the bottom. This is a big humidor. I mean, it's 400 count. It's, you know, it's huge. And at the top is where I have all my everyday stuff, the Regis and Elogio and all that kind of stuff. And I just see this little guy just running across the top, and I'm like, what the hell is that?
Trying to catch a bus, man. He's trying to catch a bus.
Yeah, seriously. And it was just, I mean, it blew my mind. I was so pissed off. Luckily, he didn't get to anything. Not too much. But there was the one there. And so I had to clean everything out and freeze it again. So anyways, that prompted my speech for tonight on beetles. So
now, Habanos does, they do freeze by the crate.
Well,
they've been doing it since what, 2006, 2007?
I don't buy it, dude. I don't buy it.
You don't buy it?
Because too many people, I know, I mean, I can't tell you how many guys on the forums that I'm on still have beetle problems with fresh stuff. They still do.
Yeah.
So the reason why we're doing this, people, is if you don't temp control like me, then you should be freezing. I mean, I don't see any reason why. You should be freezing. And I can tell you all, as soon as I finish grad school and I buy a huge cabinet and drop $10,000 of cigars in it because I'll go crazy. I'm going to freeze them all, and my aging cabinet, everything will be frozen. Period.
Yeah, I mean, I'm terrible about not freezing non-Cubans.
Oh, I do it all. I mean, as I get them, I keep them all in a big Ziploc. As I get them from trades, buddies, you know, moms or whatnot, I'm just all in a big Ziploc with a Boveda, and then as soon as I have enough, I take the Boveda out, suck the air out, throw it in the freezer for a week or two, and go back to it. But anyways, let's talk about tobacco beetles. So
let's talk about them.
And you know what? I didn't realize I can't have my little word. I should have printed my little script out. My bad. I'm an idiot. Because I can't show people these awesome pictures of beetles like this. Can you see that? Did it go up yet?
Look at that little guy.
Yeah, look at that guy.
Hold on, let me go back to your... I'm going to focus on your screen here.
So this guy...
There we go.
Is it still on the beetle?
That's all I'm looking at. Some little lonely beetle.
This is called the Lasioderma sericordi, and I have no idea if I pronounced that right. I really don't care. But basically, according to... I mean, there's a ton of information out there on these guys. But 72 RH, 72 plus temperatures is where you are most prominent for them to hatch. The eggs are present in tobacco. And some places do freeze. Some Nikos say they freeze. Some Habanos say they freeze. My opinion is Habanos have a reputation. I've received boxes with beetles. I know tons of guys who have had it happen with Habanos. So, I mean, I don't know. I have to recommend everybody to freeze. So, here's some more little pictures of it, and this is definitely what he looked like.
Look at that guy. Look at the top right in flight.
What's that?
Yeah.
Let's see here. Let me get back. Boom. Here's what a larva looks like. I found this online. Here's what a little wormy looking thing. Here's the adult beetle. So here's what you guys need to be looking for.
Beetle hole.
This little hole right here, right? And it's kind of weird because it almost looks like somebody just punched a hole in your cigar. And you may not always see them. Sometimes I actually had, I think it was Harley, had one that was under the band of an Ortega, you know, which was just blew my mind. I've never seen it under a band before, but you never know.
You got to chill where you can chill.
Well, you may not necessarily see them eat their way out of the cigar. They may eat their way out of the foot, because what happens is they hatch inside it. And then they eat around, and they start eating until they eat their way out of the thing. So you may see the hole, you may not. This is what you really need to look for, this little pile of dust right here.
Look at that hole, though, man. A beautiful little hole. That guy can dig.
Well, And one time, I mean, anytime you're digging through your humidors and you see this hole right there, you see this, not the hole, but this little dust pile, that's when you know. And it's not like, you know, cigars that you store that aren't in cellophane that tend to flake a little bit and there's tobacco particles everywhere, you know, because you've had this humidor for 10 years or whatever. This is dust. It's a fine dust. And when you see it on the foot of a cigar like that, or you see it on the side of your cigars or whatever, right? I mean, you can see the holes here, but see there's only three holes and then there's dust over here. What you need to do... is this. Let me in the screen share. You take the cigar, you hold it up, and you tap it right here. The reason why you do that is out of the foot, the dust should start falling out. So if it is actually a beetle hole and you pick the cigar up and you tap it like this, then the dust will start coming out of it. And that means even if there's not a hole up here or that the hole's up here, that it doesn't matter. They're eating the inside of the cigar, and when you tap it, if that little dust starts falling out that you saw in that picture, that means you got beetles, period. So the main thing that I highly, highly recommend people to look for is you won't see the beetle, but hopefully you can find it and kill this little sumbitch. But the number one thing is look for the dust. keep your eyes open for dust. Every time you open up your humidor, look for those little piles of dust, because if you see that little pile of dust, you need to pull every cigar and look through them. And then freeze them all if you haven't frozen them all already. Let me see if I have anything else on this PowerPoint. Oh, yeah. And then I have the brutality, the picture of brutality, because this is what happens when you don't, people.
Oh, man.
Let's
I don't
see here. Hold on. Boom.
I don't want to. Oh, man.
And those are old ones. You can tell by that. Those are old Romeos on the band. You can tell.
Look at that.
So, yeah, they got like racing strip, drag strips. They're just freaking going to town. This is fat little Beatles and that sucker. So, it's obviously disturbing when you see these things, guys. But you can prevent them so easy. I remember a buddy of mine, when he got his cabin, he was so freaked out about beetles. And he's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I'm like, dude, just freeze. Just freeze. That's all you have to do. And then you don't have to worry about it ever again. You know what I mean?
And now, how long do you freeze them for? Because this is a good question. Oh, sorry. How long do you freeze them for?
I was smoking my cigar for a second. It started to go out a little bit, you know. So, here's what I do. Here's what I recommend. Search every cigar. Pull every cigar out of your freaking humidor, and you make sure you're rolling that sucker around to see if there's any holes in it. And if you see any holes, obviously, like I said, tap them. But you need to pull every single cigar. You need to look through your entire humidor and make sure that none of those little boogers are running around. And one thing I have noticed is if you leave a little cup of water, a little like shot glass of water, a bowl of water, they'll crawl into it. And I know that because I'd left a little bowl of distilled water in the first time I got them, and I saw the beetles floating in it.
Those guys got thirsty.
That's how I found them the first time. I didn't see the dust because the humidor was so packed that they got thirsty and they jumped in the water and decided to take a swim and died. But, yeah, I mean, you know, whatever. Sucks for them. I'm glad they're dead. Anyways, as far as the freezing process is concerned, there's actually, you know, there's a bunch of chatter online about it. And there's this crazy, like, epic thread on the Puff forums about it. And that's where I took my info from. Not for this, but when I started looking.
What did they tell you?
Well, there was some like scientist, you know how a cigar people are. We're all freaking weird and crazy. There's a bunch of crazy asses out there, and some dude who was an actual scientist, like, did the hours of math and all this BS for us and for everybody. And I want to say he said 3 days is what it came down to. But what I do personally is I put them in a big Ziploc bag, put a straw on the side, you know, I seal it up all the way to the corner, and then I basically suck all the air out of it like a vacuum seal, and then I bag it again and suck all the air again out of it and throw that in the
refrigerator. Double bag it.
Throw it in the refrigerator for 24 hours, and this is the safe version. This isn't the catfish version. This is the safe version. Throw it in the refrigerator for 24 hours, overnight, whatever. This is to get it used to the, you know, decrease in temperature, because the refrigerator is typically about 34 degrees. Then you're going to throw it in your freezer. Freezer is typically 0 degrees. You can throw it in your freezer, and I throw them in there for probably a week, sometimes 2 weeks. I mean, I just don't. I throw them in there until I go, oh, yeah, I should probably take those out now. Then once you take them out, I let this go out.
You put them in the fridge.
Then once you take them out, you put them back in the fridge overnight, let them adjust to that. The fridge is actually, I want to say, about 40, 44 degrees. You throw them in the refrigerator again overnight. Then you take them out, you let them sit at room temperature overnight. Then you throw them right into your humidor. And to be completely honest, that was how I started freezing. I never had any issues with it at all. I seriously like smoked a cigar, I want to say, one day in the humi out of the freezer, and it was fine. It tasted great. So I haven't noticed any change in anything, and I think cigars are pretty darn tough when it comes down to it. So I don't see any problem with it. And the funny thing is now, like, I'm so just nonchalant about it. I just get them, like I said, I throw them this big Ziploc bag, and I don't even double bag anymore. I just throw them right in the freezer. I just have a spot in the freezer. I don't throw them in the fridge. No, I just throw them right in the freezer. Forget about them for 2 weeks. Pull them out. Throw them out on my counter next to the humidor, and let them thaw out overnight and put them right back in. Never had any issues. So, I mean, there is a technical way that, you know, that you can do it the safe way that I would recommend to people. And then there's the catfish way, which is just fucking throw them in there and deal with it later. Who cares?
Yeah,
because I haven't had any issues with them. So, I don't know. What do you do?
I put them in the fridge for – I put them in a Ziploc bag. I put a Bovita pack in there.
You put a Bovita pack in there?
Yeah.
When you
don't ask me why I do it. Yeah, why I freeze it.
That's weird.
I'm just like, I'm just going to keep it in there. Put it in the fridge for 12 hours. Then I move it to the freezer for 3 days. Then I put it in the fridge for a day. Then I put it in the freezer. I don't leave it in the freezer that long. And it's not that I'm afraid to do it. I just am like, yeah, 3 days will do it. Because I look at it like, you know, if I put myself in the freezer for 3 days, would I die? Probably.
But you don't have beetles, do you?
No, but man, the beetles are going to die if I die.
You have crabs, though?
I don't have crabs.
Okay, good. I don't think your wife would like that.
No, but yeah, man. I mean, but I know, but there are people who really, you know, they just kind of... I do take... If you get tubes, I take them out of the tubos. I don't freeze the tubos.
Hmm. Yeah, same here. I wouldn't do that either. That's... No. No. I try and get it as air, you know, as little air as possible inside the bag. I mean, I've got them, you know, so that they're just... They look like they're vacuum packed inside the thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I usually vacuum... I vacuum pack them in the... I have a little friggin' vacuum thing that just... Tight. Suck it in and let it out.
So, what do we have next?
We got some questions, don't we?
Oh, no, you know what I have? I totally forgot. I do have a new release, and it's kind of a new release. It's kind of not a new release. It's a re-release, really. And I think they're sold out already, which means, at least from the source that I was looking at, which means they're trickling to the gray markets. But there was, just for party people out there, there was a Chapman Noelia's jar... that was released, I want to say it was released in like 2010, and here's what it looks like. Here's the original one. This is the first H. Upman jar, which I showed this, I want to say, in episode 2.
Yeah.
Right? I want to say I showed it, because I pulled this picture from one of those, episode 2 or episode 3, I can't remember which one we talked about.
Yeah.
But they reissued it, and... They're putting the H. Upman Noelias in there. And I know they had it out a few years ago, and they've released it several times, but I did get an email from the... I subscribed to LCDH, and I did get an email that they were selling them again, and then this was like a week and a half ago that they did a 2014 edition. And it was technically a new release because they're back. But they were gone by the time I looked today. I was like, oh, I should check and see how much they're selling them for, and they're gone. However, I did see a couple pop up on the gray. So there are these Noelia jars are back, and from what I can tell you, you do get 25 cigars. It's a little bit over $10 a pop, and you get the jar. And to me, it's like a freaking steal.
Yeah, the jar is worth it.
Oh, if I had the money to keep that with a Bogota pack on my desk... Like, that's just the most pimp thing ever, to have that little jar sitting on your desk, like, baller status, you know. Jay-Z's not that smart, unfortunately. That is how I roll.
Jay-Z's probably got, like, a Davidoff humidor on his desk.
No, he's got a Camacho humidor, probably. And it's, like, two-year-aged BS Criollo crap. Probably terrible.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, it's a great size, and it's the H. Upman brand, and the jar is terrific.
So I'm just throwing it out there because I know we have a lot of we have a lot of international folks that watch our show, and if you see one of these things popping out there, just for everybody so they know, all the LCDH releases use what's the tobacco 2 years? 2 years age tobaccos that they use on
them? Yeah, everything's 2 years age. It's like the limited.
So you get a 2 years age tobacco, typically a little bit of a different size than you don't normally see in the brand, and you get the cool jar with the cedar lining, the little leather band. I mean, that is, to me, being an H. Upman whore, that is the coolest freaking thing ever. It just looks like something you would see in the 50s, that you would go buy a jar of cigars, you know, To me, it just freaking kick ass. So, anyways, I wanted to share that just because it's out there.
And
it's
available. while we're talking about 2 years age, just remind me because I had this question and I just was like, yeah, blah blah blah. Someone asked, so they said, so Seth, these limitadas that are 2 years age, does that mean, you know, if I get a 2014 limitada, the tobacco's from 2012? I said no, and this is, you know, I don't think we clarified this, is the tobacco is, you know, what it is, you know, that tobacco undergoes the whole process that it does. So let's say the tobacco's, you know, picked in 2009, most that tobacco is not going to be really used till 2010, 2011.
Yeah.
So then what you're looking at is then it's aged for another 2 years before it's being used. So for those who are curious about it, just add 2 years to the amount of time that the tobacco's resting and fermenting and all that stuff. So it's not just meaning that tobacco's from that year. Unless it's a reserva when they do Conseca, when they do like 2009, in which case all that tobacco's from 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. So there's that question. And all right. I think we had some more questions.
Yeah. You want to fire up the crowd questions? Let's fire them up. First one, let's see. Okay. If you see evidence of a tobacco beetle and follow up with daily inspections of that humi, you then find no other signs of beetles, how long until you think that humi is safe? Well, my answer to that question is the humidor is always safe because the humidor doesn't get the beetles. It's the cigars that get them. And what I mean by that is if you pull all the cigars and you throw them in the freezer, then you shouldn't have to worry about the humidor at all.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, as far as I'm concerned, if I find it, I'm going to clean the entire thing out. They're a decent size, you know, the size of a pencil tip. So you'll see them. I mean, that little hole that they come out of, that's how big they are. It's not like they're, you know, the size of dust. I mean, you can tell that they're there. If you don't end up finding it, then maybe it may be in one of the cigars that, you know, I just toss the ones that had the holes in them. Who knows? But either way, you know, definitely freeze everything. And if a cigar you're smoking happens to give you a little snap, crackle, pop a few months later, maybe he was hiding in that little guy. You know what I mean?
But you know, it's when you clean the humidor, besides the fact that the humidor is fine, you know, vacuum it out, get all, it's a good time to season the humidor. You know, just kind of
season it. You might as well.
Season it. I mean, you're not going to put anything in there for quite a while, because you know, once you take all the cigars out of there, you're leaving them in the freezer. And if I find beetles, then I'm going to be leaving them in the freezer for longer than 72 hours. I'd probably be doing the catfish approach and leaving them in there for about a week, week and a half. It's a great time to season the humidor up. Let that cedar soak all that distilled water. Then you can move them to the fridge and move them back in.
Next question is there a difference in prevention between Cuban versus non-Cuban? No. I think you'll see it in both. I've seen it in non-Cuban. Most of my friends that, you know, would prompt this show have seen it in Cuban. It seems to me like it happens more in Cuban, which is why I was surprised. I saw it in my non-Cuban. What I'll tell you is I heard from a tobacco blender, a Nicaraguan tobacco blender who, you know, go unnamed, he specifically freezes 30 days before they hit the market. So what he does is right off the rolling table, they freeze them for 30 days straight, then they throw them in their aging room for 2 months, then they release them out.
Yeah.
And he had told me that, I can't remember who he told me, but because God knows what the name was and we might have been drinking, he learned that from one of the Cuban guys who was a production manager at one of the Cuban factories, that they were doing that at that factory. Whether or not that is true, I don't know. So, but I can tell you that, you know, you and I think have both heard that Cubans and non-Cubans freeze. So I just say I wouldn't treat either one of them differently.
No, you treat them the same. The only thing different is that if it's a non-Cuban, this is a perfect opportunity to get on social media and start pissing off the manufacturer by saying, thanks for the beetles, buddy.
Because they definitely get butthurt if you talk about a construction issue or anything like that whatever.
Either A, they'll flip out on you, or B, they'll send you a private message apologizing and then send you some free cigars.
Yeah, exactly.
But I didn't tell you to do it, but I'm not going to deny it.
So, next one. As a relatively new cigar smoker, I've been all over the place on smoking cigars, from infused to traditional, cheap and expensive. I've had 2 Cuban cigars, at least that's what I was told, in little over a year. My palate has somewhat married enough to start recognizing flavors and blends. What would be good cigars to be a good starting point for Cubans? So what do you think would be a good starting point for Cubans?
Man, it's a really good question.
I think this is the perfect show to ask it, and I'm interrupting you right now like a total asshole.
You're good. I always say, what do you smoke?
Yeah.
That's what I ask them, what do you smoke? But
yeah,
that's
a good question, because if they're like me and they're an Avo Davidoff guy, then, I'm going to like the lighter stuff.
Yeah. It's one of those things that, I look at it as, Logan of SigFed, who's a big full-bodied guy, if he says, what Habanos would you recommend for me, I'm not going to say, K. Dorsey.
Yeah, Bolivar 2009 short Bolivar.
I mean, it's, what I would say is, look at, I'd say like a, Juan Lopez,
And see, that's the underrated one. I mean, me, personally, when I was interrupting you, I was going to say, it's a perfect show to ask this question because I think the El Principe is a great one.
Yeah, San Cristobal, that's a good brand. Monte Cristo is a good brand.
Partagas Short.
Yeah, I'm looking at brands. I don't look at the cigars, but yeah, I mean brand. Yeah.
I could recommend every brand. So for me, El Principe, Partagas Short, Monte Cristo Petita Mundo.
I'd say a lot of Robustos.
Partagas D4. The Partagas D4 is what a lot of the newer smokers seem to love, and the Bolivar Bellicoso Fino.
Yeah,
Bellicoso Fino and their Corona Junior. I mean, it seems like those two. I can hand a Bellicoso Fino to a newer smoker, and they freaking love them. They understand them right off the bat. That to me is probably the best, because if you want to, I think this was Miguel that asked this question. If you want to get a big cigar with a good amount of punch, under $10, that will kick you in the butt, but have really good complexity, the Bellicoso Fino from Bolivar is ridiculous. It's one of the best values out there, and they're fantastic cigars. So
Bolivar, just as a brand, has incredible value. I mean, Royal Coronas, Corona Junior, anything. It's just the Petit Coronas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just terrific. Someone asked me, we're talking about this. I'm getting a little off track, but someone asked me, like, hey, if you were going to buy, let's say, God, fire in your house, you can only grab one box of cigars. What would you grab? And I'm like, oh, crap, because I'm going through everything, and I'm like, man, I would want to grab this. I'd want to grab this. And the first thing that came to my mind was, well, I'll grab my, box of the Heat Case from 2010. And then I was like, no, because I saw at the corner of my cabinet of 50 unopened from 2007 Por La Arenaga Petit Coronas. And I'm like, haven't smoked them. Those things have been there for 7 years. I got to grab those damn things. The Bahiques, I know. But I mean, it's 50 cigars, too. So, but yeah, I mean, there's...
I would say, if you asked me that question, I would say my Don Alejandro's from 2006. I know I sent you one of those, and those are just absolutely fabulous.
I know. I'm waiting for that time when you have tons of time. The weather's beautiful.
2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Oh,
of just
gosh, yeah.
Bliss. Yeah, no, that's a delicacy is a good, is an understatement for that cigar. So, anyways, let's see. So we got that one. Let's see what we got here. Next question. In your opinion, and according to your preferred flavor profile, what is the most underrated marca, and what is the most overrated marca? So what do you think is the most underrated? What would you say? Most underrated brand. Total brand.
The total brand.
Mm-hmm.
I go back to this all the time, and I'll say it. Juan Lopez, man.
That's
Juan
exactly
Lopez
what I was going to say.
Is a brand, and you know why I say it, and this is why it's proof, is that it's very limited in the number of Vitolas. You got a Corona,
three.
A Corona, Robusto, and Corona Gorda. Yeah. All right. How many regional editions have you seen for the Juan Lopez brand? I mean, tons. And it's not just for, like, Asia Pacific. There's England has them, France has them, Germany has them, you know. I think so many smokers, the true, you know, Habano smoker, recognizes that Juan Lopez is simply incredible and loved for it.
And it makes me wonder where they're getting their tobacco from or what factory they're made out of, because when I reviewed it, I reviewed the number one, it was just freaking unbelievable.
It's amazing.
A couple of the guys on our forum, which, by the way, is Habanos Critic, forum.habanoscritic.com, right?
Forum.habanoscritic.com.
If you go to our forum at forum.habanoscritic.com, there are some gentlemen in there that are swearing by the PCs, and I keep having it on my list of boxes to buy, and I just haven't bought it yet. So I need to see if I can finagle a few, just to try and make sure I like it. But I'm assuming I will.
I'm gonna make it happen for this month for us. I'm gonna make it happen for us.
Well, you know why I can't buy anything right now, because I went ridiculously off the deep end with the customs. So.
Yeah, you go to the customs. I'm gonna go to my local LCDH.
But
I bought one in November. Yeah, but yeah, Juan Lopez. Yeah, it's.
I'm in complete agreement with you, and I would be amazed to see how many other, like, really really educated smokers. You know, I mean, we're fairly new, really. I mean, you and I would say are somewhat newer to the Habanos game than some of these guys out there that
some
have ridiculous, you know, ridiculous collections. But I'd love to know what other folks think. Because every time I have a Juan Lopez, I think it's fantastic. And every time I give them to folks, they're like, this is the best Cuban cigar I've ever had.
Yeah.
And they all swear that, you know, just a regular old JL1, which is, you know, $8 or something like that, is as good as any RE or limited editions that they've had over the years, you know. And I just think it's one of those that has incredible upfront, incredible right off the truck. And has incredible aging potential. I've smoked them fresh. I've smoked them with a few years. I haven't smoked anything super aged, so I've never seen it. But I can tell you at, you know, 1 year, right off the truck, 3 or 4 years, they're just unbelievable. So I highly, 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 highly recommend it. I'd say that's the most underrated.
I was in a cigar shop in Ottawa, and it's not an LCDH, but I do know that they sell authentic Habanos. I do know that. But, you know, I go in there and I start talking with a guy. This was a couple years back. Actually, it was many years back. And I'm looking around and everything, and he's like, and he understands that I know what I'm looking at, and I understand, you know, a true Habanos. And he's like, let me show you something. And he showed me this box of, you know, Juan Lopez Robustos, basically, and St. Louis Ray Robustos, which were at least 3 years old.
Yeah.
And
by both,
and I was like, wow. Well, no, because they were like open. You know, it was kind of like a couple people were buying, you know, singles from them.
Yeah.
And I was like, how are these still open? And he says because, you know, he's like in Ottawa. You know, we get some of the tourists, the guys, people come in, they just buy Monies, Cohibas, Partagas, etc. He says they just passed us up. So yeah, I got them. I just finished them. I was like, just give them all to me. And wow. Yeah. I mean, and they had age. I've smoked them since then, but it's just incredible. Great brands. You know, those small brands are always terrific to look at.
What do you think is the most overrated? Let's get to overrated. Let's talk about overrated candidates. I mean, I would say, honestly, I think Cohiba is definitely a candidate for being overrated, although there's a bunch of Cohiba freaks out there that'll slay me for saying it.
And no, it is.
That you got to have them, like, super aged and forever. I've had aged, and I don't never. The only one that really gets me is the Siglo 6, and the original round Bajiques were just fantastic. But other than that, I've had aged SBs, I've had aged Siglo 3s and Siglo 2s, and I've had fresh Coros, and I've had aged Coros, and they don't blow me away.
No, it's. I think if we look at three brands, which I think are overrated, Cohiba, Romeo, and I would say there's a tie sometimes, depending on the cigar, between Partagas and Hoya. Partagas and Hoya.
I would say Cuaba, because if it even has a rating, it doesn't deserve it.
I don't even count it. That's why I just don't even. I don't understand why it has so many damn cigars, and it's like, if you're buying Cuaba,
Who is buying it? That's what I want to know.
That's why I'm asking. I mean, if you're buying them, you're an idiot.
I mean, it's hard for me because, you know, Monte Cristo has several great cigars in the line.
It does.
H. Upman has several great cigars in the line. The thing about the Hoyo line that I like is it's all over the place. You can have just you can get all sorts of crazy flavors out of it. I mean, they have extremely light cigars and extremely heavy cigars, so I kind of like that brand for that.
They don't cut anything from any of those brands.
Maybe you know what? Maybe I would agree with you on Romeo because I love the Churchill. The Churchills right now are freaking fantastic. I love the short Churchill. But that's about it. I like the PCs. No, I haven't smoked those yet. But see, that's the thing. Then you're looking at it and going, well, there's three or four Vitolas in that range that are awesome.
Yeah, I struggle with the Romeo brand. I always have. And I found, you know, a couple of these new Churchills and white Churchills I have, I'm like, wow, man, maybe I really should come back to everything again. But for me, it's just tough. And, you know, I always say Partagas because...
I'm going to agree with Partagas.
I have a love-hate relationship because there's one, and I'm sure you can guess it, there's one cigar in there that I love it. And then I smoke another one, I'm like, no, and I smoke another one, I'm like, God, this is terrible. And then I smoke another one, I'm like, this is pretty good. Then I smoke another one, I'm like, wow, this is great. And then I smoke two, which are terrible. It's the 898.
I know. You know, that is one that I've never really gotten, and the couple that I've had, I remember one of them being fantastic, and then I had a couple that were just terrible, and I was like, eh, whatever. But
it's the classic example.
I'm gonna agree with you on Partagas would be the other one because I love Shorts, and I think Shorts is one of the greatest Habanos out there. And honestly, if I could only have one cigar, you know, if you ask me what is the one Habanos that if you had to choose, you would take Shorts would be on the list. 45-minute smoke, amazing cigar. I could smoke 10 of them in a row. And it's fantastic. But I really don't – I didn't like the P2, didn't like the P1, didn't like the P4s. No. I only like the E2 and the shorts. And I know you don't like the E2.
I hate the E2.
And I like the Lusitanias. I love the Lusitanias.
Lusitanias are great. I mean, that Lusis are just – that's a great right. Double Corona. I mean, you're right about the Cohiba. I mean, Cohiba brand's easy, and it's just, I think a part of the problem is, one, it is so overpriced.
Yeah.
So overpriced.
They take forever to age into whatever gem they're supposed to be. And it's like, I don't want to wait 10 years. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I understand some of them need age. H. Upman need age. A lot of them need age, but... 10 years, like no, I'm not gonna wait 10 years for this thing to become completely golden. And then once they hit 10 years old, everybody wants like three times retail for them, if they're actually gonna get rid of them. You know what I mean?
But you know, with H. Upman, you know, it needs like 3 to 5 years. But it's like when you first smoke it, when it's young, you can see the potential.
Yeah, and then when you smoke it at that 6 year point, it's like the greatest cigar on earth. I mean, this Punch from 07. It's got, you know, 7 years on it, or almost 7 years, and it's a fantastic cigar. And I think it's really, really good. But if you handed me a Mag 46 with 7 years on it, the Mag 46 is going to be superior.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? As far as just depth and complexity of flavors. And I would say the same thing about Monte Cristo Edmundo's, and Petit Edmundo's and number twos. Once they get that 6-7 year mark, same with the Upmans, they're just all over the board, incredible complexity and depth. Just
yeah, Petit and Mundos with age are just phenomenal. And that's the problem with Cohiba. It's, I mean, you're right, like the Cohiba Robusto, it's like the amount of times I've had a bad Coro don't make up for the good
I've never had a good one. I've never had a good one, in all honesty. I've had them aged, I've had them fresh, and I've yet to have one that made me go, oh my God, this is a $15, $16, $17 cigar. Now, Siglo 6s, yes.
Siglo 6s are, I think, the...
Sixes are freaking... That's one of the best Habano cigars out there. Totally worth it. I need to have a box just sitting. I think every humidor should have a box of Siglo 6 just sitting in it for special occasion.
I mean, and it's, you know, a part of it, it's just that size. I mean, they really mastered... Gosh, it's like a... It's almost like an American Toro. It's a little bit shorter and a little bit wider, but it's just that... 5 7/8, that kind of nozzle, that 5 7/8 by 52, they really they really mastered it. And there's a couple people who wanted to try and duplicate that, especially in the non-Cuban market. Take that size and then make something with it, and it's just not the same.
Mm-hmm. So I've got another. I've got a bunch more, but I don't think we're going to get to all of them, which is fine. We can save them for. We can save a few of them for the next show.
Yeah, we can probably get one or two.
The last one I would say. Let's see here. Okay, how about this one? If you could only smoke one brand for the rest of your days, what would it be? Not a specific, specific Vitola, but any brand. If you could smoke just one brand the rest of your day, what would it be?
Now, when he says not a specific Vitola, I'm going to really take this to the limit here. Does he mean I'm limited to the Vitolas that are currently there? Yes, I'm going to go with yes. It's basically
sure,
what's available.
Sure, why not? Right. Sure, why not? Yeah, yeah. What's available right now? Let's assume what's available right now. If you had $100,000 to spend on one marca, and only one marca, what would you spend it on?
That is such a tough question, and honestly, I'm probably going to go to Bolivar. I know you're not going to go there. I can see you shaking your head, but I'd say Bolivar, and the reason I say it is because I love the Royal Coronas, and it's a special cigar for me. It just is always delivering, and I think it's probably the best Robusto that Habanos is producing. So I'm gonna say Bolivar. What about you, Catfish?
H. Upman all day, every day. I mean,
can't say it,
dude. You have half Corona. You have the Majestic, you have the Petite Corona. So for small smokes, they have three fantastic small cigars that I've bought boxes of, and they're all freaking amazing. Corona Gorda, MAG 46. You have arguably the best Corona Gorda.
Yeah, I fucked it up.
The number two, arguably the best Pyramid, hands down. Sir Winston.
Don't say it, I love the
best,
cigar.
I know, definitely the best double Corona out there. You know what I mean? So what? Yeah. I can't think of another brand that has just. And obviously, I'm an oven whore, and I know everybody's different. But I think it's hard to argue with how good they are in every size.
Yes.
I rarely find smokers that say I don't like any Upman at all. Most of the time, they're not as versed with Upman, and then you toss them a couple, and they're like, oh my god, these are amazing, especially the age stuff. It's just freaking unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's what got me going. And I remember I compared when I had my first aged H. Upman number two. It was from 2004, the old brown band. That was the Cuban cigar that just blew my mind. That I was like, this is the most complex cigar I've ever had in my life. And the finish is incredible. And that's what made me go crazy and have to start getting on, the Habanos kick. And ever since then,
that was my number two cigar of last year. My number two cigar.
Ever since then, I've always compared everything to it. So when I've smoked vintage, anything else, I've always compared it to that cigar. You know, if I had to choose a runner up, just for aging purposes, it would probably be Vegas Urbana. Because although the Familiar sucks, they have the Robusto, they have the, which Upman has the Connoisseur One, which is an amazing Robusto as well. But the Famosos is just fantastic. The Unicos is fantastic. It ages well, and the Don Alejandro. I mean, I don't know. It's tough, but
that's a really, really hard question. I realize
it's a hard question.
After I answered it and you answered it, I was like, yeah, I fucked that up. Because, I got so blinded by the Royal Coronas that I didn't even think about the entire portfolio for H. Upman. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah. Their portfolio is ridiculous, in all honesty. Everything is good. Everything they make is good.
I can see why they made it a global brand.
Maybe the MAG 50. I don't really like the MAG 50. I haven't been impressed by that too much, but... then again, I might need to have one with, from 08 or whenever they came out.
But, it's even, and this is, I reviewed the MAG 50. The MAG 50 is definitely not my favorite H. Upman. But even the MAG 50 and the H. Upman is better than a lot of the other smokes in every other brand.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's crazy. But I don't know. It's hard for me not to recommend anything and everything from them. So
we're H-upping guys.
Yeah, we are definitely H-upping guys. We're not Cohiba guys, and I know there's a bunch of Cohiba guys out there too that'll swear by them. And the only thing I've ever been impressed with was I remember I had a Siglo 6 about 2 months ago with my buddy Tony. We were sitting on his back porch and busted some out. And these were from 2012, you know, relatively new, and they were just phenomenal, you know. But other than that, in the original Bihiki, which was unbelievable as well, nothing from them has really, really blown my mind too much.
So, I think a lot of the Cohiba guys, and I will end it after this, but I think a lot of the Cohiba guys, and this is really going to piss the Cohiba guys off even more. I think one of the reasons why they say Cohiba is the brand is because they have never tried anything else. they probably just smoked Cohiba, and then they probably, and I'm not saying all of them, but it's like they just smoked Cohiba, and then they smoked some Partagases, and then some D4s, but they probably just stick to these really well-known Vitolas, and they've never really gone out anywhere else.
Yeah, no, but yes and no, I would kind of agree with that, kind of wouldn't. I mean, I would say that there's obviously a bunch of guys that are, that don't know, not as experienced, and so that's what they're going to ask for because it's the famous name. But the reality is, I do know a lot of collectors that are that go real deep on Cohiba and swear by the aged versions, and they're dumping tons of money into them. So I know there's plenty of collectors out there who really, really do like it. And I think, again, it's just one of those things. Everybody's got a different palate, you know. So... anyways, I think that brings the show to a close, doesn't it? It looks like you're obviously enjoying your D4 because you got your Havana saving on it.
It's smoking great, man. It's smoking wonderful. So, nice finish. Very clean. It just gets lighter. I think when it gets the D4, I think that last bit of it, it just tones down dramatically.
Yeah.
And it's not showing those really strong Partagas flavors, but it finishes in this really, like, easy way, so your palate's like, that was a nice, easy finish. That's how it should be. How about your punch?
Punch is definitely really, really heavy on the tea notes, you know. I think this, and it might just be this box that I got, but very heavy in the floral, very heavy in the tea. I mean, it's so smooth right now, I've been retrohaling practically the entire thing. It's just that smooth, you know, and that's a true sign of aged Habanos tobacco is when you can, through the nose, it's just fantastic, and you pick up all those notes. But it's kind of interesting because speaking of Logan, our good buddy Logie Bear,
who I'm going to be seeing in less than
I know you guys are going, you guys
12
are going,
hours
you guys are going hours. To Nica. What are you leaving?
Nicaragua.
What are you leaving?
I'm leaving at like 3:30 in the morning.
Oh, wow. That's going
to
be awesome.
Yeah. So after this show, I'm going to bed so I can...
take a nap, get up and leave?
Take a nap, drive to the airport, because I can't... I'm not flying... I'm flying out of, like, Raleigh, which is, like, an hour away. So driving to the airport, flying to Miami, meet Logan and a bunch of other great guys in Miami, then we'll find out...
Oh, in Miami? Oh, okay. So is he staying the night in Miami?
Yeah, he had to fly early, so he's spending the night all by himself in Miami. So, and then we all fly down to Nicaragua and then headed up to Drew Estate, where I'm going to be smoking probably some of the most non-Cuban cigars on the market.
Still as many L4s as you can.
It's nothing against Drew Estate. It's just, you probably smoked a League of Nine. That's not... anyone here?
I've smoked boxes of League of Nine and L40s. I have a box clock of L40s from the box of L40s I got. But I don't have any L40s left. I've been an L40 for years. But that one and the Dirty Rat were the ones that I really dug.
Yeah. But, we're doing a blending seminar, and I'm hoping to blend the most Cuban-esque cigar to ever leave Drew Estate. It basically means no one's
getting... No Lajero. You've got to give your
No one's going to like it. Maybe Willie Herrera, if Willie's down there. But
Willie is good. He is good at blending the Cubanese type stuff. So
yeah, he does a good job. Well, it's that Miami ancestry.
If you can get him to put his fingers on it, that would be awesome. So definitely save me one. I don't know how many they give you, but if they save you one, that'd be great. So
I'm only going to give you one if it's actually decent.
No, you got to give it to me if it's terrible. I mean, you got
to
dog you all night long on the show. You know what I mean? Tell you how much
we'll
it
sucks. We'll talk about it and be like, wow, Big Tuna's blend sucks.
It'll probably be better than the fake Monte Cristo number 2 that the guy down in Florida reviewed, you know? So
I can't comment. I want you to know that as a proper member, I apologize for my comments. And I know, Catfish, and we'll talk about it in private.
Okay, I apologize as well.
For my lack of professionalism. I got carried away. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. But, yeah, man, we'll smoke it and we'll just be like, God, Seth, you suck. But my goal is basically to convince Jonathan to make an acid-infused cigar called Big Tuna.
Ooh, that would be cool. That would be
the acid
cool.
Big Tuna.
I would love to head down there and see what their operation is. Those guys, I have tons of respect for them. They're freaking amazing. So, they run one of the best operations and have the best marketing of anybody on the planet right now. I mean, just freaking believable. Nothing but respect for those guys. So, anyways, when are we back? When's our next date? Let me see.
Hold on.
You know what our next date is? I think it's the 18th or 19th.
No, man. It's one minute. Crap. What is it?
What is it? Let me see.
The 19th.
19th. So we will be back April 19th, ladies and gentlemen.
You want to talk about April the 19th. Don Alejandro then?
Maybe. I don't know.
We'll figure it out. I was trying to tease. Yeah. I was trying to tease the audience.
Trying to tease the audience? I don't know. We'll see. That's such a big smoke that we need to plan that out a few weeks ahead of time, just because. So.
Oh yeah. It's big.
We'll figure something out. We'll come up with something funky. All right, guys.
Thank you so much. Follow us at forums.habanoscritic.com. Become a member. Share your 2 cents. You know, we're welcoming. We also have our website, habanoscritic.com. That's where we just post our reviews and recaps of our shows.
All the links are on Cigar Federation. If you look up in your top right-hand corner where it says Cubans, hit those links. It'll take you right there to the forum, take you right there to the website. We're slowly but surely building up as much content as we can for you guys. So if you have any questions, concerns, comments,
we're leading the path as Americans.
Go ahead. Let us know what you think, because we definitely try and address every question that we can. I've got some that we didn't get to tonight that we'll get to in our next show. So thanks so much for listening, guys.
Thanks, guys. Good night.